58. Chapter 10. The Struggles for Freedom. Captain Wendell Oliver Pruitt was a fighter pilot in World War II. During the war, he shot down 11 enemy airplanes. For that, he received the Distinguished Flying Cross, one of the highest honors a pilot can earn. When he returned to this country and his hometown of St. Louis, Captain Pruitt told a newspaper reporter his hopes for the future. "I hope we will find the four freedoms realized when we return," he said. What did Captain Pruitt mean? To most Americans, the war was about preserving what President Roosevelt had said were the four freedoms. These were the freedom of expression, speaking and writing our thoughts, opinions, and ideas, the freedom of worship, the freedom from want, another way of saying poverty, and the freedom from fear. But for some Americans, these freedoms were little more than hopes. Growing up in Missouri, Captain Pruitt was one of those for whom the four freedoms were just a dream. That was because Captain Pruitt was an African American. Turning hopes and dreams into reality would be one of the challenges facing Missouri in the decades after World War II. Page 260, Missouri Close-Up. Missouri's State and National Forest. Number of State Forest, 52. Number of Acres of State Forest, 402,500. Number of National Forest, 1, Mark Twain. Number of Acres of National Forest, approximately 1.5 million. Total number of forest acres, public and private, 14 million. Missouri's higher education enrollments, 2004 to 2005 figures. Number of public four-year institutions, 13. Enrollment, 130,973. Number of private four-year institutions, 25. Enrollment, 120,321. Number of public two-year institutions, 19. Enrollment, 86,652. Number of private career and training schools, 140. Enrollment, 62,908. Page 261, Figure 19, Timeline, 1915 to 1975. 1920, Walt Hall Moore became first African-American elected to General Assembly. 1948, President Truman ordered end to segregation in armed forces. 1950, University of Missouri admitted first African-American students. Korean War began. 1957, Missouri Human Rights Commission established. 1964, First Federal Civil Rights Act passed. Page 262, Section 1, Making Freedom Real. As you read, look for the following. How laws were used to keep whites and blacks separate. How separate did not always mean equal. Methods used to fight for civil rights. Vocabulary terms: Jim Crow laws, labor union, integrate, civil rights, boycott, sit-in. The struggle by African Americans to win basic freedoms and rights began with the Civil War. By fighting in the war, many African Americans believed that they had contributed to the rebirth of the nation and that they had a right to share in its future. Separate but equal? Some gains were made during Reconstruction. After Reconstruction ended in Missouri in 1876, when the politicians who supported it were vetoed out of office, Laws were passed that kept blacks from using the same buildings and public services as whites. These laws came to be known as Jim Crow laws. The United States Supreme Court had ruled that segregation was allowable, that, for example, it was all right to have separate but equal public schools. But separate schools for African American children were rarely equal to schools for white children. Many did not have chalkboards. Some schools had leaky roofs. Others did not have drinking water nearby. Students often had to sit on benches instead of at desks. Some towns could not afford or refuse to pay for both white and black high schools. Some black students had to travel many miles to a town that had a high school for them. Blacks had few chances for education beyond grade school or high school. They could not get the education or training needed for better jobs, even if white employers were willing to hire African Americans, which few were. Forced to accept low-paying jobs, most African Americans could not afford decent housing, proper health care, or healthy diets. Even when a black family saved its money and could afford a better place to live, they found it difficult to buy one. White property owners would not sell to them, and white homeowners often would not let them move into their neighborhoods. Segregation and discrimination led blacks to start organizations like the Urban League and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP. Because labor unions would not admit them, African Americans formed their own. A labor union is an organization of workers formed to improve wages and working conditions. The largest and most powerful black labor union represented railroad porters, and many future civil rights leaders came from this union. African American newspapers also became important in this period. They urged their readers to help each other and to rely on their own skills and hard work to get ahead. Did you know? In 1877, St. Louis opened its first high school for African Americans. Page 264. In 1920, Walt Hall Moore of St. Louis became the first African American elected to the Missouri General Assembly. He had the help of the Citizens Liberty League, one of the many African American political groups formed after World War I. The right to vote and a chance to get an education gave African Americans new power. The renewed struggle for equal rights by African Americans was seen as a threat by some whites. They sometimes formed groups to oppose the struggle. While some were peaceful, others, such as the Ku Klux Klan, KKK, used violence and terror to spread their messages of hatred toward not only blacks, but also Catholics, Jews, and other people they feared or did not understand. Although Captain Prewitt did not live to see it happen, things started to change after World War II. Slowly, with help from organizations like the NAACP and leaders from black churches, African Americans began breaking down the color barriers. In 1948, Harry S. Truman, the Missourian who became president in 1945, ordered an end to segregation and discrimination in the armed forces. Changes were slowly taking place in other parts of society. The courts played a major role in those changes, ruling on cases brought by civil rights activists. Page 265, Integrating the Schools. The first African-American student to try to enter the University of Missouri was Lloyd Gaines in 1936. He was a Lincoln University graduate who wanted to be a lawyer. But the University of Missouri's law school did not admit African-Americans. Gaines took his fight to the courts. The United States Supreme Court eventually said Missouri had to either allow him into the university's law school or provide a black law school. Rather than allow African Americans into the university's law school, the state chose to create a separate law school for black students. In 1939, Lucille Bluford tried to enter the university's School of Journalism. Again, the state chose to open a separate journalism school for black students. But in 1949, three Lincoln University students applied to the University of Missouri. The university's board of curators, the governing body of the university system, asked a state court to back its decision to deny admission to the students, but the court ordered the university to admit the African American students. In the fall of 1950, the university admitted its first black students. The court's ruling reflected a growing feeling in the state that schools should be integrated, meaning that white and black students should be brought together as equals. Catholic elementary and high schools had been integrated in 1947, but most of the state's public schools were not officially integrated until 1956, after the courts ordered them to do so. Even then, some public schools remained segregated into the 1960s. Page 266. The deciding legal case involved a young girl named Linda Brown, who lived in Topeka, Kansas. She wanted to go to the school in her neighborhood, but the school board did not allow African Americans to go to school with white students. Her family sued the local school board. The case, known as Brown versus Board of Education, went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Civil rights lawyers presented evidence to the justices that separate but equal was really unequal and harmful to black students. In 1954, the Supreme Court issued a ruling agreeing that separate but equal discriminated against non-white students. A year later, the court ordered all public schools to allow black students. The Civil Rights Movement. Our Constitution tells us how our government should be organized and how it should work. It also guarantees us certain rights, including free speech, the right to vote, and the right to a fair trial. We call these civil rights. Because of racism and discrimination, it became necessary for people to fight for civil rights for everyone. They did this in the courts and in speeches, in writings and in sermons, and in protest and demonstrations. We call these efforts the Civil Rights Movement. Page 267. One method of protest was the boycott, where people refused to do business with a store, restaurant, or company because it discriminated against some customers because of their skin color. Another form of protest was the sit-in, where people went into a building, such as a restaurant, and refused to leave until they were served or forced to leave. One sit-in took place in Jefferson City in 1963. The high school football team went to a local restaurant to celebrate a victory, but the restaurant owner refused to serve the black members of the team. The white players went ahead and ordered, but when the food arrived, they got up and left the food uneaten and unpaid for. They then sat on the curb outside the restaurant, blocking the door until the restaurant owner changed his mind and served the African American players. These forms of nonviolent protest followed the teachings of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., a black preacher who was the most famous of the civil rights leaders in the 1950s and 1960s. Dr. King, who was at times arrested and beaten for his efforts to win equal rights for African Americans, called for nonviolent protests all across the nation. There were sit-ins at restaurants, on buses, at hotels, and at schools. There were marches and demonstrations. The marchers usually remained peaceful, but sometimes the police and others reacted violently. Did you know? In 1968, William L. Clay Sr. became Missouri's first African-American United States congressman. Page 268, Missouri Portraits, Harry S. Truman. Harry Truman was born in Lamar in southwest Missouri in 1884, but he grew up in Independence. After fighting in World War I, he started a business selling hats and shirts. He was later elected as a county official in Jackson County. Truman was a hard worker and well-liked by the people who met him. His hard work and friendliness helped him get elected a United States Senator in 1934. He continued to work hard in Washington and led a committee that helped the government stop wasting money when buying materials for World War II. In 1944, President Franklin D. Roosevelt picked Truman to be his vice president. It was a surprise choice because few people outside of Washington or Missouri knew much about him. But in April 1945, President Roosevelt died and Vice President Harry Truman became the 33rd president. His first job as president was to finish the war. Germany surrendered in May 1945. The Japanese, however, continued to fight and gave no sign that they would surrender, even if the Americans and their allies invaded Japan itself. Meanwhile, scientists working in the United States had developed a new bomb that used atomic energy to create an explosion. It was the most powerful weapon ever built, and President Truman knew it could kill many people. He also believed it would force Japan to surrender sooner and therefore save many lives. His motto was, "The buck stops here," meaning he accepted the responsibility for his decisions. He did not hesitate to make the difficult decision to use the new weapon. Page 269. Atomic bombs were dropped on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945. The destruction and loss of life were so great that Japan agreed to surrender days later. The papers ending the war were signed on the battleship USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay. World War II was finally over. After the war, President Truman led the country as it tried to return to normal. It was a difficult task, and many people were not happy with the way the president was doing his job. Many people did not think he could win re-election in 1948. Some newspapers even printed stories on election night saying that he had lost. But he surprised nearly everyone by winning. During his second term, the country's economy began to grow, and life did become better for many Americans. Many hard decisions still faced the president, including the war in Korea that was still being fought when his term as president ended in 1953. The former president returned to Independence, where he was seen taking daily walks and working at his presidential library, where his papers and other historical documents are kept. He died in 1972. Today, you can visit the library and learn more about the only Missourian so far to be elected president of the United States. Page 270, Making Progress. The peaceful methods of the marchers and their willingness to risk arrest, injury, and even death helped convince many people to support civil rights and to urge their government representatives to pass laws to end discrimination. In 1964, Congress passed the Civil Rights Act, which barred discrimination based on race, creed, or skin color. By 1960, three-fourths of black Missourians were living in the Kansas City and St. Louis metropolitan areas, the region around a major city. That was a result of discrimination in the schools, in housing, and in employment in rural Missouri. Even in the cities, though, African Americans found discrimination. They were denied opportunities to work in better-paying jobs or to move into neighborhoods with better housing. At the urging of civil rights activists, The state created the Missouri Human Rights Commission in 1957 to work to stop discrimination. The commission worked with the General Assembly to pass fair employment laws in 1961, to integrate public buildings in 1965, and to ensure fair housing practices in 1972. Do you remember? Number one, what United States Supreme Court case did away with the separate but equal policy? Number two, name two types of nonviolent protest.